Chapter 13. His name was Carter McBride, and he was 10 years old, an only child, the pride of his parents Dimitri and Victoria, who spoilt him as best their circumstances would allow. Like most of Aberdale's younger generation, he enjoyed the jungle and the river. Lalonde was much more fun than the cheerless, dry concrete, steel, and composite caves of Earth's arcologies. The opportunities for games in his new land were limitless. He had his own little garden in the corner of his father's field, which he kept chock-full of strawberry plants, gineered so that the big scarlet fruits didn't rot in the rain and humidity. He had a copper spaniel called Chomper that was always getting underfoot and making off with clothes from the McBride cabin. He was receiving didactic courses from Ruth Hilton, who said he was absorbing the agronomy data at a satisfactory rate and would make a promising farmer one day. And because he was almost 11, his parents trusted him to play unsupervised, saying he was responsible enough not to wander too far into the jungle. The morning after Horst Elwes encountered the lysilf in the church, Carter was down by the river, where he and the other kids were building a raft from scraps of timber left over from one of the adults' construction projects. He realized that he hadn't seen Chomper for about 15 minutes and looked around the clearing. A flash of ginger fur in the trees behind the community hall made him shout in exasperation at the silly animal. There was no immediate response, so he set off in vigorous pursuit, boots kicking up a splash in the thin layer of mud. By the time he reached the boundary of the jungle, he could hear Chomper barking excitedly somewhere inside the crush of trees and creepers. He waved at Mr. Travis, who was hoeing the soil around his baby pineapple plants, and plunged into the jungle after his dog. Chomper seemed intent on leading him directly away from the village. Carter called and called until his throat felt raw. He was hot and sticky, and his frayed T-shirt was smeared in long streaks of green-yellow sap from the broken creepers. He was also very angry with Chomper, who was going to be put on a choker lead as soon as they got home. And after that, there would be the proper obedience training classes that Mr. Manani had promised him. The chase finally came to an end in a small glade of tall qualtook trees, whose thick canopy of foliage didn't let much sunlight through. Spindly blades of grass grew up to Carter's knees, vines with a mass of lemon-coloured berries foamed up around the glossy trunks. Chomper was standing in the middle of the glade, his hackles raised, growling at a tree. Carter grabbed hold of his neck, yelling out exactly what he thought of dogs at that moment. The spaniel resisted the pulling and urging, yapping frantically. "What's the matter with you?" he demanded in exasperation. Then the tall black lady appeared. One second there was only a qualtook tree in front of him, the next she was standing 5 meters away, dressed in a grey jumpsuit and pulling her hood off. Long chestnut hair tumbled down. Chomper had fallen silent. Carter clung to him, gazing at the lady with his mouth open, too surprised to say anything. She winked and beckoned. Carter smiled up at her trustingly and trotted over.
"Got him," Camilla said. "He's very sweet."
"So is my neck," Latton replied curtly. "Just make sure you leave him where they can find him without too much trouble."
"Horst, this can't go on," Ruth said. The priest just groaned with immense self-pity.
He was lying on the cot where he'd been dumped the night before, crumpled olive-green blankets wound tightly round his legs. Sometime during the night he'd been sick again. A congealing puddle of waxy vomit lay on the floorboards below his pillow.
"Go away," he mumbled.
"Stop feeling so bloody sorry for yourself and get up." He rolled over slowly. He could see he'd been crying, his eyes were red-rimmed, the lashes sticky.
"I mean it, Ruth. Go away, right away. Take Jay with you and leave. Find a boat, pay whatever it costs, get yourself back to Durringham, then get off this planet. Just leave."
"Stop talking like an idiot. Aberdale isn't that bad. We'll find a way to deal with the Iverts. I'm going to have Ryan Mulvey call a town meeting tonight. I'm going to tell people what I think is going on." She took a breath. "I want you to back me up, Horst."
"No, you mustn't. Don't antagonize the Iverts. Please. For your own safety, Ruth, don't do it.
There's still time for you to get away.